Welcome to The Pursuit of Purpose, a podcast made possible by SkyLife Success, a SkyPass Group company. Join Krish Dunham, an author and speaker whose messaging has been described as the junction where God's ability and man's availability meet hope's accessibility.
Greetings, dear ones, wherever you are listening from across the globe. Another cloudy Monday morning in Dallas, Texas, but there is warmth in the heart and hope that tomorrow the sun will rise again, if not later today when it begins to peek through the proverbial clouds. I titled today's missive, The Continuity of Certainty. What are some things that we know for sure? What are some things that we know will exist? But before we launch into the tirade and my trajectories that some of you still seem to like and encourage me to do, I want to read for you a poem I wrote. And if you want a copy of this poem, if you're listening to it, please send an email to info@skylifesuccess.com. Info, I-N-F-O, at sky, like in sky, skylifesuccess.com. info@skylifesuccess.com. The poem is simply titled, Us Knowing. I wrote it because of the certainty I have of the faith that I ascribe to, the faith I espouse, the faith I project, the faith I proclaim. But as I get into the application side of it by giving you three very simple motifs on the continuity of certainty, I want to read this poem for you that seems to have touched a chord and provided promise and hope to people around the world who have been able to see it on Instagram and LinkedIn. Us Knowing. The blissful sleep of the night, through darkness is your guiding light, holding us sweetly in your palm, us knowing that it is your calm. The breaking light of created morn is another sign that we are born. Your blessings new upon our face, us knowing that it is your grace. Who can doubt your hand in this, where hurts and scars turn to bliss? We bind in chains all of those, us knowing that from death you rose. Your promises are here today, nothing left unsaid to say. Your mercy reigns, and so we sing, us knowing that you are King. We live and love to be free, no longer tied to fruit and tree. So with you, we are not alone, us knowing you are on the throne. So bless us now, our heavenly host, by Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We now have found what is thine, us knowing that you are divine. Us knowing. The certainty of continuity, or the continuity of certainty, whichever way you want to look at it, it would splice and dice the same way. The three motifs that all of us experience, and we are at the starting block of another week. The countries around the world are in different stages of lockdown and opening up. A trip that I had to the eastern part of the Europe was postponed because of some level 4 alerts that were issued suddenly. But what does not change in this continuity of certainty? What does not change when you look at the mirror, when you look at your day, when you look at your life, when you look at your outlook, when you look at your family, when you look at your predicament, when you look at your job, when you look at your security? What does not change? I think the givens in this world will not change. If you're in a regulated industry, the regulatory atmosphere, the rules that govern it, the processes that dictate it, the laws that legislate it are all given. Politicians have a way in which they will pronounce on you rules and regulations that you have to adhere to. And whether you voted for them or not, if it is a democratically elected place, you are now going to be one who will have to adhere to the rules. These are givens. And depending on which country you live in, every 4 years, we hope that those givens will change, or every 5 years, we hope those parliamentary procedures will be altered. But that is part of living. It is the continuity of certainty, or the certainty of continuity. When you and I wake up every day, there are certain things in this world that are given. If you're married, you're married. If you're separated, you're separated. If you're single, you're single. If you're estranged, you're estranged. If you're loving, you're loving. If you're hating, you're hating. The givens of this world are just that. They're given. They're given to you each and every day, and how you navigate around them, how you bust through them, how you go over them, how you escape under them, or how you befriend them is entirely up to you. So today, as you look at your journey, as you look at your path, as you look at your options, ask yourself, what are my givens? The country you live in will dictate to a large degree the givens, the way in which you operate. Recently, I watched a documentary about a country that is in Southeast Asia that is one of the last monarchies that exists the way it does. Completely surrounded by democratically elected republics and nations, this monarchy has existed. It has richness to it. It has wealth in it. It has an untold amount of affinity and praise for the person who leads them. But that's a given. And people who talk about it say one of the givens you cannot talk about is the wealth of anybody else within the confines of this place, because we all have some amount of it, some have more than others. But that is a continuity, that is a certainty that people wake up to every day in that republic. Even people who blog there can talk about everything except certain things, and that's a given. You bring us back to these here United States. And again, today may be more of a cultural commentary that has some kind of a civic ethos to it. But the cultural commentary in the United States is just that. We went through 4 years of one kind of an opinion, and people labeled it and made it prejudicial and ascribed to it many different terms. And the word that was used was intolerance. The word that was the height of lexicon in America was intolerance. We cannot accept intolerance. And the irony is, the people who cannot accept intolerance are now the people who are not tolerant of intolerance in a roundabout way, which means just that which they protested is that which now they want protected. And hear me carefully on those statements, because when you look at the givens in life, sometimes you'll get to protest them, sometimes you'll get to protect them, but it just depends on where you are and in what cycle of this certainty you are looking at the situation around you. This is something that does not change. Now, what will not change are the uncontrollables. This is an act of nature, a wrath of God, a hurricane, or a typhoon. Some years ago, one of the ministries that we support was going to have a global proclamation reunion in the country of the Philippines, in the city of Manila. 5,000 people from around the world who are pastors and pastoral leaders and teachers and trainers and equippers of the gospel of Jesus Christ were going to gather together as part of a 10-year campaign, and this was going to be the halfway point. And much planning went into it, Philippines being a location that many others have used in the past as a place that was easily accessible geographically, a place that demographically and climatically and geographically provided all of the necessary tools and trappings. In fact, a broad part of that society was going to be participating in one of the miracles called the feeding of the 5,000 who would come. And then there was this uncontrollable, I remember. A typhoon, Yolanda. It swept over the nation, devastated many of the islands, but with it untold amount of damage. And suddenly the people who were going to be part of this project of unifying and uniting and bringing 5,000 people and hosting them and giving them all kinds of hospitality. Now, I've been to the country of the Philippines about 25 times, and I can tell you without any fear of error, that is one of the most hospitable people I've ever met. That is one of the most beautiful countries I've ever visited, as is evidenced by the fact that I've been there more than any other nation on planet Earth. But suddenly, they were confronted with something that they had experienced before, earthquakes they've experienced, eruptions of volcanoes they've experienced, typhoons they've experienced. But for us, for them to experience something that they have always recovered from during the height of when we needed them was something that they could not overcome and we could not fathom. And as a result, I remember that meeting as if it were yesterday. We were sitting with these people, tears in their eyes as they looked at us and said, this is an uncontrollable. This is something that we don't know. We don't know how to overcome this. And the certainty of today is that we cannot participate in hosting you because we have to deal with taking care of our own. Now, there was nothing selfish about the action. It was just an uncontrollable. It was an act of nature. It was something that happened. The fact that we were going to bring 5,000 men and women of God to a place, and then now suddenly we see something that is an act of nature, makes us begin to realize that man proposes, but God disposes. We had to move the venue last minute to the country of Thailand. And Thailand has gone through its own upheavals, ups and downs, but they said that that would be a safe time, and it was. We had about 3,500, close to 4,000 come, and we were able to, I was able to participate in what these people did. Now, the reason I bring that up is the continuity of certainty or the certainty of continuity. Whichever way you want to phrase that, there is some kind of continuation. There is some kind of certainty that life offers. First are the givens. These are things that you and I cannot change. Some of the uncontrollables, these are things that will not change. None of us could have predicted the pandemic, but I guess the great I Am sitting in the sky, the one who tells us, we know that he knows what we're going through, and us knowing that he exists, as we alluded to in that poem. The great I Am is not sitting in the sky going, oops, there's a pandemic because someone went to a wet market in China and the rest of the world had to shut down. Untold memes will come out of it. Different logistics have emanated from it. Masking, demasking, sanitizing, distancing, nomenclature changing, pivot. These are all words that came out of something that did not exist 2 years ago. It's an uncontrollable. But we've had uncontrollables before. The uncontrollable of World War I, the uncontrollable of World War II. The uncontrollable of World War II was actually an uncontrollable that came upon the Jewish people during the height of the Holocaust. There was a continuity in their life going back to the generations of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a wandering people who were taken out of slavery and given a promised land. But since that time, hostility has surrounded them, peril has followed them, diabolical measures have been put in place to eliminate them. But they deal with that uncontrollable every day. And just as sure as we are recording this today, rockets are flying from Hamas rockets are flying in from Gaza all the way into Jerusalem. The third is what can be changed. These are the negotiables. So this is what you and I have to look at and ask ourselves. If some things are givens because of where I live and who governs and who rules and who manages and who motivates, and some things are uncontrollable, just think about it. If you live in the broader Indonesia to the Philippines or Micronesia or Papua New Guinea or any of those areas affectionately referred to as a ring of fire, something that you can be certain will happen as an uncontrollable. You don't know when it'll happen, but you know it'll happen. Is a volcanic eruption, an earthquake, a hurricane, something. That place is called the Ring of Fire for a reason. In Texas, we have something called Tornado Alley that begins north of Texas and goes all the way up to Kansas. People say that when a tornado or bad weather strikes the plains, you can be sure that some part of that stretch of I-35 between Denton, Texas and Moore, Oklahoma will be hit, as it has many, many times. People will still choose to live there. People will still inhabit those areas. And when calamity strikes, people will rally around it to make it work. But what can be changed? These are the negotiables. Years ago, I wrote a quote, and I've quoted for you many times, but the quote simply is this: plan with attitude, prepare with aptitude, participate with servitude, receive with gratitude, and that should separate you from the multitudes. So planning with attitude is one of the first attributes of negotiating life. Attitude is will, the will to win. Bobby Knight is credited with saying the will to win is nothing without the will to prepare to win. Mr. Ziegler said, plan, prepare, then you can expect. So when you look at what can be changed in the world amidst all of the things that we see around us, remember the regulations that come from the top, the promises that come from politicians, the pronouncements that come from these ministers of motivation, so to speak, are about as predictable as a sunrise. They are platitudinal in nature, and they are designed to get a rise out of you if you're the opposition and resigned to give you safety. This morning, I was looking at some of the motivational motifs that came out of the land of India that is going through this reeling of this wave, and people said, "We are here to take care of you." Well, these are the same folks who are saying, "We are here to take care of you," who at one time, you know, so a savior at some time is the same person you fear. And this is a very strange world we live in, and these are the givens. The people who protect us are also the people who in some way imprison us. The people who protect us are the same people who sometimes pass rules and regulations that are against us. So that is like a Ferris wheel where there is no getting off. You're just constantly running in circles and trying to imagine that somehow or the other you're going to enjoy the pace and going to enjoy whatever is thrown in your face. What will not change? These are the uncontrollables, these acts of nature, these wrats of God. These things are going to happen. They happened before, they'll happen again. When you look back throughout the annals of human history, atheism has always promoted a violence and an adherence to a moral law that was given by man and not a moral lawgiver. When we take subservience to God out, then whom shall we fear? Again, as Francis Schaeffer said, how then shall we live? Right now, there's a broad populace out there that is running around claiming that they have an identity issue, claiming they have a desire to be heard, claiming that they are going to be inflicted with pain. We're creating soft spaces in the academia of learning because people are affronted and afraid by legitimate exposition of ideas because these ideas have been deemed radical. I find this laughable because I'm a person who has studied history quite a bit. And when I think of Alexander the Great, that great general who at a very young age conquered most of the world that he could see, and his desire was to promote some of the civilized rhetoric and philosophical outpourings of Hellenistic living, what we now know as Greece. These were the most evolved people. They had great philosophy within them. They had great rhetoric, as is evident by Aristotle. But today our halls of learning, unity, which means unity in diversity, or university, unity in diversity, is no longer a hall of learning. With great certainty, I can tell you that the negotiation that was the academy, the negotiation that was the place where people went for intellectual stimulation, they said, listen, I believe one way, but if I go to these halls of learning, if you hearken back to the debates of Demosthenes and Cicero, you will see diametrically opposite worldviews. Why go back that far? You can go back as far as in American history and see that how the people disagreed with each other when Thomas Jefferson and Adams disagreed with each other, and they reconciled as well. And if you read the speeches about their reconciliation, you will get a glimpse into history that is far more comforting in this arena of being able to negotiate in the modern arena of ideas. But today, ideation is shut down. If you believe a certain way, you're bigoted. If you believe another way, you are evolved. And these very universities that were supposed to produce the brilliant people who would give us game-changing medicines, as we have seen, vaccines that came out at record pace came out from the intelligentsia that went through there. But those areas are now becoming big bastions of bigotry unto themselves because they do not want to hear ideas. And I'm telling you this, friends, as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow and later today through the gloominess of what I see outside my window, this is a continuation of certainty, or a certainty of continuation, and that is this. If you are not open to ideas that are diametrically opposite to you, and your only reason for the opposition of them is because somehow you feel, then you are ignoring facts which debate life. And ultimately, feelings are just that. Everybody has them. Opinions are just that. Everybody has them. Those of you listening to me, listen to me because you know I have opinions. But my opinions are always try to calculate and be sensitive to people with other opinions. I don't come out here and lambast anybody. I come out here and I'm vocally vociferous about what I believe. But that is humanity 101. That's how you're going to negotiate. When I look in the mirror, do I see someone completely defeated, even though I went to university? And the university I went to and the way in which I lived and the way in which I argued today, I would be shunned. I would not even be allowed to stand on the sidewalk because someone else feels unsafe because of my vocal. Can you imagine surviving the smallpox, influenza, or any of those pandemics, or surviving the wars where people went without stuff and they had to look at ideologies that were being pummeled at the end of a gun? And today people are saying, I'm not afraid of bullets. I'm not afraid of weapons. I'm afraid of words. That is not only laughable, it is downright scary. It is scary if we come to a point where people say, I'm not going to allow you to participate and I'm not going to negotiate past you because you just make me afraid for no reason. So anyhow, these are the thoughts I had on my mind. So ask yourself this, in the certainty of continuity or the continuity of certainty, what are the givens that you cannot change? What are the uncontrollables that will not change? And what are the negotiables that can be changed? Until next time, this is Krish Dunham with another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose. Good luck. God bless.
And that concludes another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose with Krish Dunham, brought to you by SkyLife Success. Please subscribe, rate, and visit us on the web at krishdunham.com and skylifesuccess.com, where you can find our social media links and access to additional resources. Till next time, happy learning and happy living.